Colorful action message.
We are talking about FGM and the Let's Protect Our Girls campaign, which the government has been spearheading here in the UK. It's a campaign that focuses on the potential lifelong consequences of FGM with the aim of eradicating FGM by encouraging adults from affected communities to understand that FGM has long-term health consequences and is child abuse in the UK. It was designed in consultation with FGM victims and activists, including the NSPCC, Forward UK, Madaya Somalia Women's Network, The Girl Generation, and ICRO. It signposts people who want more information to the NSPCC's anonymous helpline and website where they can find further help or get advice. Now, on the call with me this morning, I have Sarian Kamara, who is the founder of Keep the Drums, Lose the Knife, a community interest group aimed at ending FGM in United Kingdom, Sierra Leone, and other parts of Africa. Sarian is an activist and a lead anti-FGM, anti-circumcision campaigner, working nationally and internationally with an interest in safeguarding. Sarian also helped set up the NSPCC helpline in an effort to tackle FGM in the United Kingdom and continues to work tirelessly with numerous organizations while running workshops to support women and young people affected by FGM to access specialist services. Sarian, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. Sarian, for those who are listening and who may not have an idea, but although they should do by now, could you describe to us what FGM is?
Yeah, FGM means female genital mutilation, and FGM stands, and that includes all procedures that involve partial or total removal of the external organs of the female genitalia for non-medical reasons. Yeah, it can have long-term physical, psychological health consequences as well.
I can only imagine. What has been your experiences with FGM?
Yeah, well, I was caught when I was 11 years of age.
Oh, wow.
I was caught back home in Sierra Leone. For me, we did not know that there was any amount of cutting going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was really secretive in our day. So, yeah, girls or young women don't know that that amount of violence is going to take place. But I was really, really excited to be part of the Bundu Society, as every girl wanting to go at that time. Because if you've not been, you would be called names and people would make mockery of you.
Yes,
in
yes.
The community. So every mother, grandmother, auntie will want their daughters to go to the practice. So they will work towards that. Like, it took my grandmother a year to prepare us to go to the Bundu Society because it cost a lot. And we were 15 in number. The oldest
Wow.
was 25, the youngest was 2, and I was 11 years of age. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And could you describe to us the health consequences that are associated with this practice?
Yeah. There are lots of consequences, health consequences, but it all depends on how it was done and to what extent, you know. But I can start by saying it has no benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, female genital mutilation can cause serious health consequences, such as childbirth, which is something I experienced. I had difficulties in giving birth to, especially my second child, and complications, and you know, infections. There could be scarring, period problems, difficulties in passing urine. And, yeah, you could have, like, people who go through type 3 where the skin is pulled together
yeah.
and stitched up.
Mm-hmm.
They can find it difficult to have a normal flow of period and to pass urine easily, you know, because it comes as a drop. Now, most of these women who go to type 3 never have a period free day
oh
because the period is stuck inside. There's no way for it to come out, so it's just dripping out. So it's like every other day they have to, like, look after themselves. So, yeah, there are many, many more, but it all depends. As you know, there are 4 types of FGM.
Yes, yes.
You know, you have type 1 to type 4, but type 3 is, according to WHO, is one of the worst kinds. Not that the type 1 is less.
Yes, because, but the severity of the effects, yes.
The procedure, but the psychological effects can be the same.
Wow. And how big of an issue is FGM in England?
Wow. In England, FGM is really, really a big issue because it is practiced by different communities.
Okay.
And according to the NHS England statistics that was released in July 2018, it shows that between April 2017 and March 2018, 6,195 individual women and girls had had FGM identified.
Wow.
Or treatments related to it, you know.
I had no idea it was so big.
That's how big it is in the UK. And this was just 2017 to 2018 at that short period. Yeah.
So what about families who say they're going to take their children back home? Because it's obviously illegal here in the UK, but what if families decide that they want to take their children back home to have the procedure done? Is it still illegal? Is it still illegal?
It is illegal. It is still illegal to take your child back home. Now, there's been a law in the UK since 1985, but there were loopholes. So in 2003, the government strengthened these laws. But I know there is another law to back up what you've just asked. I think that is the Serious Crime Act 2015, which makes it an offense for you to take your child back home to be caught. So you will be fined with failing to protect because you would know that there is a risk, you know. Because, you know, for some of us that come from Africa, the tension of cutting our girls or cutting, you know, women in our community does not only, that decision does not only happen between, like, let's say, if I want to cut my girls, it will not just be me and my husband's decision.
It's a whole family.
Can take that decision as well. So let's say me and my husband, our stand now is no FGM. Obviously, we're campaigning against that. But when I go back home with my girls, I have to be extra careful because anybody can, you know, in my family would think that they have the right to initiate them.
Wow.
Just like the way my grandmother and my aunties organized
did
our
so.
Cousins.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I had no idea.
So I have to make sure when I go home, I protect my girls with everything. You know, if I have to use external powers, you know, like getting protection orders, I will do that because it is very important for me to do everything within our power to make sure that our girls and our young women are protected from this barbaric practice.
Wow. What are the consequences if someone is found guilty of this crime, either here in the UK or back home?
Like I said, FGM has been illegal in the UK since 1985. And in 2003, this law was strengthened. So it is a serious crime offense in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It's a maximum penalty of up to 14 years imprisonment for anyone found guilty of this offense.
Wow. And
the serious crime has a maximum of 7 years imprisonment as well, which is failing to protect. Yeah, so families and communities have to be very careful and we have to be aware, we have to educate ourselves. This is why, for me, I don't rest.
I'm
using the option of education
mm-hmm.
because we don't want it to be too late for the young girl or the woman, because once you've been caught, you just have to manage the situation.
The situation,
because
correct.
You cannot reverse it. So prevention, they say, is better than cure. And the government in this campaign, Let's Protect Our Girls, are doing this fantastic work with community members like ourselves and different communities, you know, to make sure that this message is passed. And we're using, you know, kind of the health consequences is one of the main focus, because that's how it will damage the future of these young girls who are at risk.
Well
yeah,
said.
The government is doing an amazing work in collaboration with the NSPCC line, which who have set up a line
for that,
for people to call if you have any concerns or worries, or you know, about yourself or anybody, or probably even advice. If you need advice, you can call the line Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was going to be my next question. If you are someone in the community and you see this happening and you're concerned about it, and I think people also are worried about, you know, the anonymity of this and being judged if they call up, what do people need to do?
Well, that's the idea. That's the reason why this NSPCC line was set up, because in before now, the relationship with the police officers and communities is building up slowly. But you know, it's difficult for communities to just go and you know
pick up the phone
because they worry that they're just going to come and arrest their family. But it's not so. So by coming to the NSPCC line, so people can be assured that they can give information, even if they don't have to give their name, you know, and then, you know, get whatever help and support they would need, if need be, to rescue a girl or a young person or even an elderly person, then the help will come. And then you can do that anonymously. And then even a child, I believe, can call the line as well.
Oh, that's good to know. And I'm just going to say that the NSPCC free 24-hour helpline is available for anyone worried about FGM. Call 0800-028-3550. And that number again is 0800-028-3550. And you can call it anonymously or visit the NSPCC's FGM webpage for more information at nspcc.org.uk/FGM. Sarin, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Just my last word, everyone should just remember that FGM is a child protection issue, a child abuse. Don't see it any less than that. So let's all just take action to try and see this practice come to an end. Thank you very much.
Colorful action message.